All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. First post full draft edition of the show. I'm Bobby Fenton. Thanks for joining us. And I'm really excited now as we've got the draft behind us. We've got the schedule release in front of us. And we got a lot going on this week's edition of the show. So, like I said, when I had talked to you last, it was last Friday morning after the Bucks had taken Joe Tryon, the edge rusher out of Washington, but it was before the remaining six rounds of the draft. Now we have the full draft to get to, and the Bucks made six more picks after that first rounder, and they've also made a couple of free agent signings this week as well. So we'll get to all that today on the show as things go on. If you want to get a hold of me, the easiest way to do it is the same as always. Email bobbygameday@yahoo.com. That's B-O-B-B-Y-G-A-M-E-D-A-Y. bobbygameday@yahoo.com. Same thing on Twitter, @bobbygameday. I'm a little spotty with email returns. I will return your email, no question. How long it takes varies. Twitter, I'm usually more on time with that. But I love hearing from you guys no matter what it is, so you can always feel free to get a hold of me any way you want to. The free stretch is brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. Our good friends over there are always set up to take care of the way, whatever you need, they'll take care of it that way. So if you like to shop online, BillCurryFord.com is the website. They spell it C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. Check out the inventory there, brand new, pre-owned, used, whatever it is. And if you want to test drive something, not even buy it, just look at it, they will bring it to your house or to your office or wherever you ask them to. Just let them know, and they'll take it over there, and you can test drive it. Of course, if you make a purchase, same thing. It'll be delivered to you on the spot. You never have to actually leave your house. But if you like to get out and about, you can go see them where they've always been, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, just past Hillsboro there, a little bit north of that. And they've got the huge lot there, the huge showroom. They've got a little coffee bar in there, too. Everything's set up the way you'd want it, and you can see everything in person there. Either way, if you make the purchase of Bill Curry Ford, you're going to get the nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty, which means as long as you own a car that you bought at Bill Curry Ford, you're covered for engine trouble. You bring it into the service center. They take care of it, which to me is huge. You get the first year service-free, oil changes, all that stuff. It all comes with your car. So check them out again in person, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, or go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. And thanks to them, as always, for supporting the free stretch. So we talked last week about Joe Tryon, and you know, who knows how any of this will work out, but we hadn't really gotten to what I think is the most, or I guess I hope it's... Well, that's a good question. Actually, I just thought of that now as I'm talking. What do you hope ends up being the more noteworthy pick for the Buccaneers in this draft? They took Joe Tryon in the first round, edge rusher. They took Kyle Trask, quarterback, Florida, in the second round. Of course, there are other players, too. Robert Hainsey, the tackle from Notre Dame. They took a wide receiver, Jalen Darden, from North Texas, who is expected to contribute as a gunner on as a return guy on special teams in May. In fact, probably will replace Jaden Mickens. We got Jalen and Jaden now. KJ Britt, the linebacker from Auburn, will be another special teams contributor. And same thing with Chris Wilcox from BYU, a cornerback. Seventh rounder, same thing. Again, assuming these guys make the team with Grant Stewart from Houston, the linebacker. But my point stands. I mean, the two most noteworthy picks are the first two. And when you take a quarterback, that's usually like the centerpiece of your draft. In this case, it was their second round pick, 64th overall. But it definitely raised eyebrows, or at least raised my eyebrows, much more than the Joe Tryon pick. So yeah, ask yourself, like, who do you hope is a more noteworthy pick a few years from now? Obviously, quarterback's quarterback. And Tom Brady's saying he wants to go two more years right now. So I was totally okay, and we talked about it last week and the week before, that the Bucs hadn't taken any quarterbacks at all or kind of bided their time on that. I didn't want them to take a quarterback with their first round pick, so I'm glad they didn't go that direction. But then Trask was there in round two at number 64 overall, and they took him. So a lot of you know me, but for those of you that don't know that well, I am a graduate of the University of Florida, 2002. And I follow Gator football very closely. I go to a lot of games. I didn't go to as many this past year, obviously, but you know, I watch every snap of Gator football. And so you might think, oh, Bobby's over the moon. They took a Gator quarterback, Kyle Trask. And I like Kyle Trask a lot. I was there in Lexington, Kentucky, in the stadium with my wife and two kids the night Felipe Franks got hurt. And Kyle Trask tried it in off the sideline. And at that point, and it's amazing because this wasn't even that long ago. Like, it's crazy to think of him at that point as a former high school backup to De'Eriq King. Okay? And then was just kind of a guy on the roster. I wasn't even sure he was going to come in. Like, when Franks got hurt, I was standing there. We're down there. You know, we were pretty close to good seats. And we were had a good view of the Gators sideline. And when Franks got hurt, I turned to my wife and I said, I mean, I think this is going to be Emory Jones. I guess it could be Kyle Trask. I'm not really sure what they're going to do. And it ended up being Trask. He trots in. And the Gators were losing the game. It wasn't looking good. And then whoop, whoop, whoop. He took him right downfield, started hitting passes, made a great play on a lateral to get the Gators a touchdown, just brought him back and won the game. And the rest is history. He went on to have a very good rest of his career at Florida and went from being just another guy, a Jag, as I like to say, to having his name mentioned for Heisman Trophy contention and win it. But still, I mean, like the meteoric rise. Now he's a second-round draft pick and the presumed replacement for the greatest quarterback of all time on the defending Super Bowl champions. Not anytime soon, we hope, but still, I mean, that it happened fast. And Trask is a good quarterback. He's tough. You know, he's obviously not an athletic. I shouldn't even say he's not athletic. He's not a runner type, which neither is Brady. But Trask is tough as hell, and he'll stay in the pocket. And in fact, I mean, he ain't going to do anything else. So he stays in the pocket, and he will milk every last millisecond out of a play to get that throw made wherever he wants to go with it. And so, I mean, a lot of respect for him in that aspect. His arm strength is not, like, superhuman. Like, he doesn't throw a football through another human being like some of these guys do. But he actually has good. His arm strength is almost better on deep balls. Like, he's got really good touch on the deep ball, and he threw the deep ball really well statistically. I mean, I think he was over 60% at UF throwing deep balls. So it's not that he doesn't have a strong arm in that aspect. He doesn't have the zip in that intermediate range. Like, if you're throwing, like, a deep out from, like, the far hash to the opposite side of the field, that ball for him is not as strong as, like I said, some of these guys who are just, like, genetic freaks. Like Mahomes, like, flicks his wrist and he throws a football, like, 94 miles an hour. He's not like that. But down the field, Trask is pretty good. He seemed like, and, you know, I'm not going to say he's a system guy, but, like, he didn't make a lot of plays outside the design of the play. So I'm not saying he's a system guy, but, like, he's not an out-of-structure quarterback where, okay, this isn't here, this didn't work out, let's figure something else out. But he knows where to go with the ball. Like, he understood where the ball was supposed to go, and he was very good at getting it there at UM. That was the first thing I noticed immediately that night in Kentucky was, like, Franks, who does have those genetic. Like, Franks can throw a football over them their mountains like Uncle Rico. But, like, Franks, you didn't know what the hell. Like, Trask took the snap, knew where he wanted to go with the ball, knew how to get it there at the college level. Now, he'll need to work on things, obviously, to go to the pro level. He'll have a chance to do that because he's not being brought in to be the immediate starter. If you look at the idea of where quarterbacks need to be drafted to be worth a damn or to be worth even drafting, you know, we all have it in our head that, you know, you look at Trevor Lawrence, you look at Peyton Manning. Of course, Tom Brady's not an example of this, but you look at some quarterbacks and you think, oh, this guy has to be, you know, you got to get that quarterback really, really high. Otherwise, he's not the guy. Nobody comes from out of nowhere anymore. Tom Brady's an aberration. And it's kind of in the middle. Like, yes, quarterbacks do need to be drafted fairly high, or at least history shows they need to be drafted fairly high. But not like number one or top five overall. I mean, you know, Mahomes wasn't like that. Aaron Rodgers wasn't like that. Russell Wilson wasn't. There's quarterbacks who are good that were drafted decently high, but not like super high. And in fact, here's a list if you want to look at numbers of quarterbacks in the past 20 years who were drafted outside the top 40. There have been 194 of them, okay? And there are only, I'll read you some names here of the more prominent ones. These are quarterbacks in the last 20 years to be drafted outside of the top 40 in the draft. There's Dak Prescott, who's probably the most prominent one of recent times, and he was a day three pick, fourth rounder. Jimmy Garoppolo in 2014, Russell Wilson in 2012, Nick Foles in 2012, Kirk Cousins, another fourth round guy, 2012, Ryan Fitzpatrick way back in 2005. And if you want to go way back, I mean further back, Matt Schaub, Mark Bulger, and of course Tom Brady in 2199 overall. So that list has some, I mean, if I told you Kyle Trask was going to turn out to be Kirk Cousins, you'd be like, oh, okay, you know, I guess. I wouldn't be like crazy over the moon about that or anything. But Dak Prescott's pretty good. Obviously, we know about Tom Brady and Russell Wilson and some others like that. So my point is, it's not impossible to find a quarterback. I'm not comparing him individually to any of these guys. I'm saying the fact that you drafted a quarterback and it wasn't a top 20 pick doesn't mean this guy can't eventually be a franchise quarterback for the Bucs. His odds are maybe a little lower of that happening, but there are examples of it. Now, like I said, there's been 194 of them, so like I just listed a few names. That's a small percentage of the overall number there are. So these things are a long shot, but it's not unheard of either. And so we'll just have to wait and see. Again, he doesn't have to come in and start right away. He may not even be number two because the Bucs, in case you missed it, did re-sign Blaine Gabbert at quarterback, a $2 million deal. It can go up to about $2.5 million with incentives. So their QB situation now, Brady, Gabbert, Trask. I think Ryan Griffin's days in Tampa don't look as bright as they did. I wasn't, you know, before the Gabbert thing, wasn't sure what they were doing there, but they did end up getting Gabbert officially re-signed. So now Ryan Griffin not looking as probable to be on the Bucs roster. And it's funny because Ryan Griffin, would have, still can. Ryan Griffin, if he's somehow on the Bucs roster in 2021, will set a Buccaneer franchise record as the only Bucs quarterback in franchise history to be on the roster seven seasons in a row. Now he's thrown, what is it, like two passes or whatever it was in that time, so you know you don't even realize it, but he has been here as long and now possibly longer than any quarterback we've ever had. But if you look at Blaine Gabbert being re-signed along with Brady and Trask being drafted, those appear to be your top three, and Trask may even be number three. We'll have to wait and see. As a Gator fan, someone who likes Kyle Trask, I want him to succeed, and as a Bucs fan, I want him to succeed. I'm not like 1,000% all in, like this is the guy on Trask either. But I mean, how can you ever be with anybody? Although, ironically, I guess I kind of was like that with Jameis Winston, who's an FSU guy, even though I was a Gator guy. And I was like, oh, this is the guy. And you see how that turned out. So, exactly. That's my point. Nobody knows. And if nothing else, it's a really good fit. I think Trask's skills and his strengths fit this system well. And so, you know, obviously Arians isn't going to be the coach forever. We don't know if things will change, but for what the Bucs are doing right now, and if Byron Leftwich maybe becomes the head coach one day after Arians leaves, that will be a good fit. So you look at the positives and you move on from there. And as far as what else the Bucs have done this week besides the draft, like I mentioned before, a couple of free agent signings. They did not draft a safety, so they addressed that in free agency. Raven Green, who even though he's named Raven, has been playing for the Packers these past several years, brought in some pretty decent numbers there. He can help out for depth. Javon Hagan, a guy on the roster at safety that may be on the bubble now due to that signing. And same thing with linebacker. You know, they drafted KJ Britt from Auburn, who can help on special teams. But they also signed Joseph Jones, who's been playing in Denver the past few years and in fact has led them in special teams tackles during his time there. So when you look at it, and it's funny because Greg Allman, for the beat writer for The Athletic for the Bucs, he said, they did a whole poll of all 32 beat writers for the different teams, and where did your team improve the most in the draft? And he actually said special teams, can you, even though it's not an official position. And it's true, like all these guys they drafted, Darden, like I said, can be a return man. Wilcox, the corner from BYU, can be a gunner. And then they also picked up a couple of other guys later that'll be special teamers. Trask will not be a special teamer, and neither will Hainsey. And neither of those guys will feature that prominently in 20. We're talking about 2021. He doesn't mean that Tryon sucks or something. He just means, as you know, far as on the field in 2021, that's probably going to be the most profound impact you see from this draft. But Tryon will be, you know, I mean, Shaq Barrett never came off the field. He and JPP barely came off the field. Anthony Nelson was the main provider of depth there. So Tryon will definitely see action, you know, depending on how good he is. He could factor quite a bit. Anyway, looking at the league as a whole. Oh, one more thing for the Bucs. The rookie minicamp will be next Friday and Saturday, so there'll be some action involved with that. A couple other things that came out this week. Like I said, the schedule release is going to be on Wednesday night, and we'll have our show recorded on Thursday the next day, so we'll be able to react to the schedule release. It's always very exciting. You guys, if you've heard the show before, I've talked about it before. It was always so exciting as a kid growing up, and the schedule release wasn't a big deal with all the fanfare like it is now. In fact, I remember distinctly as a kid, because my family always got both papers, the Tampa Tribune and the St. Pete Times, as it was known then. And so did my grandmother. A lot of times I'd be at my grandmother's after school on some random day in the spring, and you didn't know it was coming. But what I always liked to do after school was I'd sit on her kitchen counter. She'd always make food for me, and over at Nana's house. And Nana would always have the paper right there, and I loved reading the sports page and the comics. Those are the only two things I read back then. And this is like, you know, early 90s, like middle school age. And you just go in there one day and grab the paper, and boom, the Bucks schedule would be in there for the next season. And I'd be like, whoa! You know, I'd be so excited. But you didn't know. There was no internet. There was no Twitter. There was no NFL Network. And there was no advance warning like, hey, we're going to release the schedule on this day. It just showed up in your newspaper one day. And I'd always cut it out with scissors, stick it right up there on the refrigerator, and that's where it would sit all summer. And looking at would be like anticipation of the fall and the season to come. And that's what kind of led to the whole fridge schedule thing. And I know a lot of you know about the fridge schedules because we've been doing it for 2 years now. I always type up a fridge schedule with color logos and stuff like that on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. And I'll do that again this year. You can always get the file from me, and when we get closer, I'll type it up. But it will be available Wednesday. And it's always even more fun because the first thing you'd always do is what? Especially in the 90s when the Bucks were nobodies and nobody cared and they played Sunday at 1 p.m. pretty much exclusively. You'd look for any 4 o'clock games because even 4 o'clock games were a big deal back then. And you'd look for that one primetime game. We never got Monday Night Football. We didn't have Monday Night Football from when I was born. Didn't have our first one until 1998. I was a freshman in college the first time I experienced Monday Night Football with the Bucks. But they'd get the odd Sunday night games here and there, and those were always a blast. I always got so geeked up for those. Some of my favorite memories growing up with Bucks games were those very special, every once in a while, primetime games. I remember one at home against the Lions on that TNT Sunday Nitro. Remember they used to split half the season ESPN and half the season on TNT? I remember Gary Anderson, the Bucks running back, like hurtling from the 2-yard line for a go-ahead touchdown in the fourth quarter of that one. I remember a game in 1995 against the Packers on Sunday Night Football, freezing cold. We went to the game, and the Bucks, I think it was Chris Jackie, the Packers kicker, missed a kick that would have won the game in overtime, and then Michael Husted hit his. And the Bucks won like 13-10 in some low-scoring game against the Packers. I remember that was actually the game where the Bucks were supposed to wear the all-orange. They were going to break out the orange jerseys with the orange pants, which they'd never done before. And I think Hardy Nickerson and some other players like vetoed it and told Sam Weish they weren't going to go out on the field if they had to wear them. That was that game, if you've heard that story before. So anyway, then through the years, the Bucks started to get better. Of course, they finally made the playoffs in 97. Oh, that Sunday nighter in 97, remember that against the Dolphins? When they part of that 5-0 start, that one was a blast, the final season at Tampa Stadium. And then there's been others through the years, all those Monday nighters with the Rams. That's the first thing you look for. So this year, in addition to those, we know we're getting one that we've never gotten before, and that's the Thursday night season opener that the Super Bowl champion traditionally opens the season with at home on Thursday night to start everything off. The Bucks, I say traditionally, it's been done that way pretty much every single year since when? Can you remember? Yeah, since the last time the Bucks won the Super Bowl in 2003 when they didn't get to do that. In fact, the Bucks had to go on the road on Monday night and open someone else's brand new stadium, which ended up being fine because they had closed the vet the year before. They opened up the Eagles' new stadium with a 13-3 win on Monday Night Football in Philly. I remember Joe Jaravicious had that batted ball to himself, touchdown, and there was a few other plays in that game. But that was the last time that the Super Bowl champion didn't get to open at home on Thursday night. So we'll get to do that for the first time. I think the Ravens in 2013 also didn't do it, but that was because of a conflict with an Orioles game at Camden Yards nearby. And other than that, every single Super Bowl champion every year has opened on Thursday night at home. The Bucks will do the same. Who could that team be? So, looking at the schedule, we know who they play. We don't know the schedule yet, but we know, first of all, they don't do division games for that Thursday nighter. They'll open with division games for like regular Sunday week one, but the Thursday night one, they don't, that I can remember, they almost never do that. So I wouldn't expect that game to be the Saints, the Panthers, or the Falcons. That leaves five opponents: the Cowboys and Giants, the Bills and Dolphins, and the Bears as the possible opponents for that first one. And from what I've heard, and Rick Stroud tweeted this, and a few other people, this is not confirmed, these are rumors. I heard Bills at Bucks is very possible for the Thursday nighter, but I've heard so many scheduling rumors before, and then the schedule came out, and it wasn't what ended up being on there, that I wouldn't count on. I mean, to me, it does make sense. To me, the two that are the most obvious, Bills at Bucks, obviously the Cowboys. You can never discount the Cowboys for a primetime game. And I could even see the Dolphins maybe, although I'm not sure they want to go all Florida for that first game. So just something to keep an eye on. Another rumor I had read, and again, it's just a rumor, but I had read it on Twitter that they wanted to go with the Bucs at Patriots, because we know that one's happening, and Brady returning to Foxborough and all that. And they wanted to maybe do that one on Thanksgiving night. So we'll see, man. But you know what we know already. I don't know for sure when or which ones, but we know there's going to be multiple Monday night games, multiple Sunday night games, Thursday. Bring it on. Bring it on. Because I already got other things going on Sundays at 1. There's a million games. I'm okay with taking a season. I mean, you know it's going to be back to that one day. So I'm okay with taking a season and just gorging ourselves at the primetime trough. You know? Let's just do, because let me tell you something right now, okay? The Bucs are hot right now, right? Won the Super Bowl, Tom Brady. That's cool, but you all been around long enough, I think, if you've been around here any amount of time, to know what I know. It goes in cycles. That's for anybody, first of all, in sports. But second of all, especially a place like little old Tampa Bay, once Tom Brady leaves, you know, once the shine wears off, we'll be back to where, I'm not saying that as a franchise, wins and losses will be back to where we were, but I just mean these primetime things don't stick. We're not the Cowboys or the Packers or the Steelers or some of these heritage franchises that no matter what the hell they do, even if they're not that good, they're going to get three or four primetime games a year. We get our one that is like mandated, and sometimes it's just Thursday night, and maybe another one in a regular year, and that's it. And it'll be bad. That will happen again, okay? It will. So these are boom times for the Buccaneers franchise. Let's enjoy it. So yeah, lay it on me. Give me Monday night. Give me Sunday night. Give me Thursday night. I mean, half the games should be in primetime. Give me those 4 o'clock game of the week things. Give me everybody on Twitter talking about the Bucs, because they're the one game that's on TV and everybody's watching it, because it will not be like this forever. It won't even necessarily be like this for long. And I'm not saying I wish it were. We're little old Tampa Bay. I like that role. I've always been comfortable in that role. And, you know, we're not going to be Mr. Primetime for years and years to come. It's just not the way. Unless the Bucs pull a Patriots and just start winning everything for the next decade, it's not going to be that way. So looking forward to that schedule release, and we'll talk about it more on Wednesday, and I'll probably use, or on Thursday's show next week, and I'll probably use that chance to dust off my old Monday Night Football story about the first time the Bucs hosted Monday Night Football in my life, which was in 1998, and skipping a college exam. But we'll save all that for next week. I didn't skip the exam. I just kind of brushed it aside, if you will. Another big piece of news that I thought was big, and I don't like this at all, okay? In not this season, but the next season, 2022, okay? Thursday Night Football package exclusively is going to Amazon Prime. So you have to watch the game on Amazon Prime. If you have Amazon Prime, then you have an app on your TV and all that. Now listen, okay? I have Amazon Prime. We're Prime members. I have Prime Video on the TV. I can watch the game, no problem, right? Except, yes, problem. I do not like, you can get out your old man yells at cloud memes. You can say, Bobby, get with the times. Go for it. Because I'm going to tell you this right now. I do not like the direction that media content consumption is going, okay? I'm a TV guy. I'm a remote guy. I'm a cable guy. I like to sit on my couch with my cable remote and just dial the channels in. Because now what happens, and again, I've got Amazon Prime, so I'm not complaining. Oh, I can't see the games now. I'm with it, baby. I'm keeping up. I got that app. I can watch that game. But what happens on, you know, let's say they're playing a Thursday night game in September or October, and hey, the Rays are playing on the other channel, or the Lightning are playing on the other channel, or there's a World Series game or something. I like to flip around, man. But when you got to go, oh, now I'm going to go to my cable, but now I have to switch out of cable and go back into my home screen. Let me find the app for Amazon. Let me go. It's just too clunky. I like everything in one place, okay? So it's not even streaming per se, although I don't like streaming either because the delay is much longer. You know, you watch your game on TV, the delay is a few seconds. You stream it, the delay is like 30, 40 seconds. That's my problem with YouTube TV, which is otherwise a fantastic service. But now, you know what my favorite button on the remote is? What's your favorite button on the remote? Let me tell you my favorite button on the remote. It's the last channel button. I figure out what's going on and where, and I get it set up. Like I said, a Thursday night game could be on one channel, and the Lightning game or the Rays game or a World Series game or whatever could be on another channel. Boom, one button. I go back and forth with ease. Now I can't do that. Now I got to go out of my whole thing, go into a separate app, leave that on when I want to go back out of that. I mean, just what a gigantic, colossal pain in the ass. And I'm so tired of people trying to tell me why things are better just because they're newer when they're not better. Like, streaming is not... I think a lot of people, I really believe this, I think a lot of people just like to seem with it, just like to seem modern, just like to seem like they're not the old man yelling at the cloud. So they'll think something is good just because it's newer. And let me tell you something, streaming things is not better if you can only get one thing here, one thing there. Oh, let me get my Fire Stick out. Oh, here's my Roku. Here's my Hulu. God almighty, it's too many different things. There's nothing wrong with the technology itself per se, but put everything in one place. And if I can't, that's why I still have, here's why I still have cable, okay? First of all, the biggest reason is the Rays and Lightning games are only on Spectrum. Even all these other services can't get them. And I think Spectrum sucks. I used to have Frontier and I was kind of happy with it. And I switched from Frontier to Spectrum to keep getting Fox Sports or whatever the hell they call it now. So, fine. I switched. I still have it. That's the big reason. Another reason is it's one-stop shopping. Like, I pay one bill and I get everything. I don't have any other equipment that I have to switch. Like I said, Fire Sticks and Rokus and this and that and the other. It's just a pain in the ass. I don't have to go into an app to watch one thing and then switch out. So it's all there. And third of all, the price isn't even that. It used to be, oh, well, I'm a cord cutter. I'm saving money. But if I drop my cable and just paid for internet and then stream stuff between the prices for those things, like YouTube TV, which does not have the Rays and Lightning games yet, I think I'd be saving like 10 bucks a month maybe, or 15 bucks a month. But then I'd be dealing with broadcast delays, which I'm willing to pay a little extra not to have a delay. Because I like to scroll Twitter during the games or stuff like that and do those types of things, or text buddies. Nothing worse than like seeing, oh, hey, Tom Brady just hit Mike Evans for an 80-yard touchdown pass, and you're watching. You're like, well, wait a minute. They're on their own 14, so how could it be an 80? Be an 86? Oh, wait, I'm two plays behind. They're not at the 20 yet. That's why. And now I already know the thing that's going to be really exciting that's about to happen already happened. And that's a buzzkill, man. It really is. So I'm out on streaming, I'm out on delays, I'm out on having to switch back and forth between apps, and even though I have Amazon Prime, I am out on this move in 2022. Don't like it one bit, but that's what they want to do, man. They want to make you get something else that you already have and pay extra money to watch it. So for the people that don't have Amazon Prime, I mean, look, there's ways to watch things on the computer. I do it all the time because the NFL doesn't televise nearly enough of its games. I make no apologies about it, whatever. When we get to that point in 2022, I'll help y'all out. The landscape changes. There's no need for me to get into it right now. But as long as I'm around, I'll be there for you, and we'll figure out ways to beat this thing, okay? Because it's wrong. It's wrong. Just put it on my TV, my cable, so I can use one remote and not just one remote, but use one system. And just use that last channel button, baby. That's the best button ever made. I don't even need the other ones. If you give me the last channel, and I can just dial that up, and then boom, 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 I go back and forth. It's easy as can be. If you have your own thoughts on it, or if I'm missing something, if there's some magic bullet that I haven't figured out yet, I'd love to hear from you. You can always email or tweet. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. On Twitter, you can get me @BobbyGameDay. That'll do it for now. So, coming up this week, first of all, have a great weekend. NHL regular season ending. The hockey playoffs will be starting. Lightning, round one. Hey, 7,000 fans now at the arena. They're bumping it up a little bit. Wednesday, we got the schedule release, and we're going to talk about that on Thursday on your next Free Stretch. But that's all for this edition of the Free Stretch for now. So in the meantime, thank you to the Joes for giving me this platform and letting me on the air on the best place for Bucks coverage anywhere. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford for sponsoring the show. And thanks to all of you. Be safe this weekend. Have fun. And wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.